Now, we are in a time, that time of year, when as we all clean up Christmas and we give ourselves a little bit of a break outside of the Boxing Day sales, we think about the new year and how we'll make it better with New Year's resolutions. It's a time of thinking about how we can have a better year next year. Now, for many, it is the time to desire lifestyle changes that we know that we're probably not going to keep. But on a bigger scale, our whole world at the moment is asking the question of how we can make the world better after the pandemic. In May, the World Economic Forum unveiled a plan called the Great Reset that wants to use the pandemic as a catalyst for us to change the way that we think about capitalism. Now, they said that they really should have done this after the global financial crisis at the end of the 2000s. But now this pandemic is a second chance for change. The proposal is that they change capitalism so it no longer benefits only the shareholders and gives employees and everyone else the scraps, but that it benefits everyone. Should benefit employees, consumers, communities, and the environment. They're calling for every country and every industry to take part and be transformed. Now, it's a nice sounding idea, but there has been a sharp reaction against it, and some are calling it a communist conspiracy. I found one article that made comparisons to 1984, the George Orwell novel, about a future of communist suppression. When George Orwell wrote it, 1984 was in the future, but they were looking at that and saying, this is what these guys want to do to us. The thing that makes a lot of people skeptical is that there's a small group of the social and intellectual and financial elite asking to control and regulate the whole system, which we know that people are inherently greedy, and there is no doubting that whatever system they put in place, there would be a way for people to exploit it. So it's already a quite divisive idea instead of being this wholly transformational goal. So as we look towards the next year, how can we have a real purposeful and impactful change in this world? How can we have a great reset in a world that fights against change and thrives on division? Well, today we are taking a brief detour into the book of 2 Corinthians so that in the dying parts of 2020 we can take a moment to think about how we are going to orient ourselves this next year. This is the time for being deliberate about what changes or adjustments to our attitude we can make heading into 2021. 2021, the millennium has turned 21. Well, it will in a few days' time. We'll give it the keys to the house, and hopefully, it will do better than when it was only 20. Today, we're going to look at what it is that we want to lead us in 2021 and why. Now, if we look at the world and were to diagnose a cause of its problems, what would we say? Now, I think for the most part, sort of those natural causes of problems, they probably don't make up our day-to-day struggles. So struggles with disease and natural disasters and things like that, while they're all significant and difficult, they're nothing compared to things like war or poverty or relationship breakdown or things like that. Even in our fairly rich and peaceful society, it's more likely that you're going to suffer from treatment by other people rather than a natural cause. And if someone is struggling with something like a disease, or people are struggling with a disease in a poorer country, people have a tendency to make things worse for other people. We know that a lot of people in poor countries die because of treatable diseases because they lack health care. During the pandemic, the lockdowns in Australia, we saw all sorts of bad behaviour by people who were scared and acting out, which caused more stress and difficulty for a lot of us than the virus itself.
Over the last few years, scientists have done studies about mental health of people in our country, and we have found that we have a loneliness epidemic in our country. Now, that's something that just sounds sad for the people experiencing it, but it's actually even worse than we initially think. They've discovered that there is a significant increase in poor health due to loneliness. If you're lonely, your immune system doesn't work as well. You're more likely to have a heart attack. You're more at risk of mental illness. They've looked at the data and they say that being chronically lonely is as bad for you as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Now, you'd think that it was a problem that's mostly among elderly people, but it's not. They've found that people in the ages of 16 to 25 are most at risk of being lonely. Now, while they have a high social connection through the internet and things like that, their social connections usually lack a deep, meaningful connection. Now, studies show that 20% of people in Australia are experiencing loneliness at the moment. And of that 20%, half of them, so that's 10% of our nation, have experienced loneliness for 10 years or more. Psychologists are worried that this is the next great health crisis. Now, in terms of suffering in our society, it's much easier to suffer things if you have other people around you, if you have a good level of support. Now, I find when I have to do a job that I don't want to do, a difficult physical task or something like that, it's a lot easier to push myself and work harder if there are people around me supporting me in what I'm doing. That's why I love Working Bees at the church. I don't particularly like cleaning out gutters, but when I clean out gutters and have a chat with someone at morning tea, that's quite fun. And we work together and it's great. If I had to do that on my own, I would be miserable. Loneliness is not something that naturally occurs in our world, but something that we inflict on each other. Now, the demographics that are most at risk are people like single dads or divorced and single people, or people who have had broken relationships. A lot of the suffering in our world is because we just don't seem to be able to get along with each other. Now, I think the major cause for most of the conflict we experience with each other, the conflict that causes us to avoid other people and take shallow comfort in whatever relationship we can get out of people's Instagram or Facebook feeds, is the fact that we have differing wills. Each of us wants to have things our way, and when we don't get it, we can hurt each other or get hurt by it. I've had instances in my life where I've had contact with people who seem like nice, friendly, good blokes or ladies, depending on who they were, and they're very friendly and kind to you until you disagree with them or want something different than they do. And then they very quickly turn to subject you to all kinds of manipulation or bullying or passive-aggressive behaviour. Now, most people would still say that that person was a good person because they just haven't got on their bad side yet. And when they do, they meet the same result. The main problem in this world is our inability to get along with each other. And that is because we are the ones who want to be in control. The problem is that we are not always that aware that we are not actually in control of our own wills. Usually the thing that we worship is the thing that controls us. We have a lot of ideals in our society where people will strive towards a particular goal, whether that be wealth or to be the most beautiful or to be the most intelligent person or to just pursue leisure or any many number of things. And when people turn that into something of an idol, then that becomes the thing that controls them. That's what they desire. If I desire financial success as my highest goal, then pretty soon that's going to drive me, and that will control how I treat my family, how I treat other people. That will decide my morals and everything else that I do. I'll spend my energy trying to appease that goal, and I'll never be satisfied by it. I will always want more money, because there will always be more to have. In the book of Ecclesiastes, when the author is ranting about their inability to gain satisfaction, he says that the eye is never satisfied with seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. We always want more. So the problem in this world is that we have these divergent wills, and we're all worshipping things that control us and drive us to cause more suffering. Is there a chance that the world can be made right again if there are 7 billion people on this planet all oriented towards fighting each other so that they can be enslaved by something that will never satisfy them? How can we have a better world? How can we have a real great reset? Well, if we look at 2 Corinthians today, Paul is in a situation where he is defending his position against some false teachers who want to discredit him. So he's telling the Corinthians what motivates and drives him, what it is that he worships. And he tells them this: "But the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who might live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who their sake died and was raised. Paul is saying that he is not controlled by money or fame or a desire to worship beauty or have the best things, but he is controlled by the love of Christ. Now, in our society, we value our freedom and don't like it if something is controlling us or we think is controlling us. But the reality is, whatever value we put value in is what controls us and drives our actions. So when Paul says the love of Christ is controlling him, it's not about having a vindictive master trying to manipulate and take from him, but it is more that the love of Christ is what inspires and drives his actions. Now, this is very exciting, because the reason that it drives his actions is that he says that when Christ died, he died for all people, therefore all people died. Now, that sounds weird. Not all people died. But bear with me, because what Paul means is that because Christ died for all people, there was a great reset, where all of the things that were controlling people have been cut off from that control. When he died for all, he took on the punishment for all the evil that people were doing, all the evil that people have done and will do. So there is a chance now for people to live for something else, a chance for them to live for something other than that will that controls them to do horrible things to each other, to drive people apart so they only ever have superficial relationships and always experience loneliness. Paul says that Jesus died for all so that they no longer live for themselves, but for Jesus. There is the opportunity to replace that thing that you live for, that you will never be satisfied with, for living for a greater cause, the one who died for your sake and was raised to life. Now, this is not a matter of living for a controlling master, but a loving father who wants what's best for you and directs you on to love and care for others. Not about control in the way we think about it, but more about course correction and driving inspiration. So because Jesus died, all of the problems of the world died with him. So Paul goes on to say that if anyone is in Christ, it is a new creation. The old creation is gone and the new is here. Now, some Bible translations will say, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. But that's probably not the best way to translate it. There's some variation on the way that you understand the punctuation, but it's probably best translated as, it is a new creation. It means that the world has fundamentally changed. No longer is it just people controlled by the things that they worship and spurred on to do horrible things to each other to get it, but the cycle has been broken and the world is now something new. The old world has passed away. The world is now something new. From the early parts of Genesis, we have seen that humans want to decide good and evil for themselves. And when we looked at the rest of the book, we saw that it was constant for humans to be doing evil and horrible things to each other, breaking creation and relationships with each other and God. We even saw with Abraham, whilst he was trying to follow God, he still let his own insecurities and desires control him and cause strife. But now, the new creation has come. We can live for something different now. We can be reconciled to God. God sent Jesus to reconcile with us so that he wouldn't count our trespass against us, but that the world can be renewed and we can be in a proper relationship with him again, like it was in the Garden of Eden. So as we look forward to 2021 and ask, how can we have a better go at it than 2020? We can get excited because we know that we're living in a new creation. The old has passed away, and we can be part of a world where we are no longer controlled by things that never satisfy us. So we know that because Christ died for all, there was a great reset, and we now have the opportunity to live for something bigger than our own deficient desires. We know that now that people abide in Christ, it is a new creation. We have been reconciled with God. Now we have to ask, what is our response to that? And how can we live like we're in a new creation? Well, Paul says that we need to start living as new creations. Jesus became sin for us so we might become the righteousness of God. If we know that the way that humanity has tried to do it since the beginning has failed and only caused violence and strife, and at the moment is causing isolation and loneliness, yet now we are given an opportunity to break free from that cycle and follow the one who leads us for our own good, then our response is to start living for him instead of ourselves. So as we face the new year, we know that we are living in the new creation and we have the opportunity to live like that. Paul talks about how now his ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. What they are doing now is repairing relationships between man and God and inevitably between humans and humans. Relationships are at the very heart of God's salvation. It's not just a matter of having a long life, but God sent his Saviour to endure suffering and shame for the sake of a relationship. God knows you and cares about you and who you are. He created you for relationship with each other and with him. So how should this affect the way that we live in 2021? Well, we start the year being reminded that we live in a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. We have the opportunity to do a reset on our lives. Now, I know that 2020 was part of the new creation as well. And in 2020, if you were living for your own will, you probably would have been quite frustrated. I know when I did that, the parts of me that desire my own success and glory found it quite frustrating living in 2020. But as we head into 2021, let us make this year a year of deliberately living for God's will, a year of living in relationship the way that God wants us to. Now, it is no secret that this year there has been an increase in loneliness and isolation. So as we face the new year, let us endeavour to put a stop to that. The thing that drives us apart is usually our desire to live for things which are opposed to what someone else is living for. But in 2021, let us try and all follow God's will rather than our own. Let us worship God instead of money or success or our pride. Let us humble ourselves to have good and proper relationships with each other. Now, I am of the opinion that it is not an acceptable thing for people in my church to be experiencing loneliness. I know that it is here, but it shouldn't be. Now, I'm not blaming anyone because I know how hard it is to have relationships in this world. I know that you are all great people who work hard to follow God. But in our society, we have been told that we need to be self-sufficient. We need to keep a brave face. Our society has lied to us. It has told us that we need to stay in our own lane and not bother other people, which is killing our society as much as a 15 cigarette a day smoking habit is. Now, the thing that I love about my job is that I have the opportunity and the excuse to get to know you all, and I think that you are all great. Did you know that there is someone in this congregation who was once a linesman for professional tennis matches, and they once had one of their calls questioned in a passive-aggressive way by none other than the legendary bad boy of tennis, John McEnroe? Did you know that there is someone else in this congregation who was once living under a dictatorship, and when they're in that situation, they read an illegally smuggled copy of Animal Farm by George Orwell? Did you know that there is someone in this congregation who was once an extra in a Missy Higgins video clip? Now, I will not tell you who they are. They are all here today. But I challenge you to talk to each other and find out. I had that a lot longer, but then I cut it because there's so many interesting things that you all do. Now, those are just random interesting stories that I've heard from people. But the people here are kind and caring and will often go out of their way to show their love and care. Loneliness is inappropriate in our church family. Now, I know that we are fighting our society on this one, so it's something that we have to work with through together. And we need to also prepare to be vulnerable with each other. Now, one of the reasons that the lie of self-sufficiency has worked is that opening our lives to each other can often be painful. But that is a risk that I'm willing to take for you all if you take it with me. When Bruce Coventry died just last year at 103 years old, Dave and I were talking to the funeral director, where we were a little bit worried that our church would be big enough to fit everyone, knowing how many people were at his wife's funeral. So we were talking to the funeral guy going, oh, I don't know how many people would be there. I hope there's been enough. We were going to open up the upstairs if need be. And the man kind of scoffed at us a little bit and went, there won't be too many people here. The guy was over 100. Now, that struck me as a weird thought, that because the longer he had lived, there would be less people to attend his funeral. Surely if you lived longer, there would be more people that you have met and influenced. I think that it is a sad indictment on our society that after a certain age, people only ever lose friends. So as we enter 2021, remember we're living in a new creation. God has hit the reset button and we have an opportunity to live for something other than ourselves. We have been reconciled to God and each other, and we are now a family of brothers and sisters. So this coming year, I propose that we act like brothers and sisters to each other. We have a chance to make those words, brother and sister in Christ, actually mean something. As we move forward as a church, I want us to move in a way that makes the fact that we call each other family a reality. Now, it will be hard and scary, but we are living in a new creation and we have help. So if you have ideas about how we can grow together, spend more time together, pray together, invite the community in to be part of our family, then please let me or the leadership know. Let us end this loneliness epidemic. Let us know that everyone is someone who God created and loved, and someone who Jesus died for. So this year, if necessary, let us relearn how to be friends and family with each other. We have the opportunity to no longer be controlled by the things that only want to take from us and drive us apart, but we can be driven and inspired by Christ, who died for all and was raised. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us something greater to live for. You have fixed the problem with creation. You have hit the reset button and helped us to live in this new creation now. Help us to be ministers of your reconciliation. Help relationships to be on the forefront of our minds. Help us to love and care the way that you cared for us. And help us to be a family in all the messiness and the loveliness and the joy that that can be. I pray, Lord, as we go into 2021, we can be brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can be inspired and driven by you. And we can show others in the community the great things that you have done, the new creation that you are bringing us. I pray all these things in Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen.